Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Attention! Here is a special invitation to all our radio listeners, especially those who do not already have a church home. The congregation of Kansas City Christian Faith Center invite you to come to our Sunday, December 30th church service at 2 p.m. We are located at 1721 North 9th Street on the corner of 9th and Walker Avenue. Come and be blessed with the Word of God by Pastor John McIntosh. And if you have need of a winter coat, to receive a new coat from us with much love. The first 20 first-time visitors present, which includes 5 men, 5 women, 5 boys, and 5 girls, will be given a coupon to receive their coat at the end of our service. We trust you will be blessed spiritually, materially, and consider becoming a new member of our growing church. If you have any questions regarding this special giveaway, please call us at 816-446-7615 or contact us by way of our website at kccfc.net. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Family, today we are starting a new teaching entitled The Holy Spirit, the Third Person of the Godhead. I believe that the Holy Spirit has led me to teach on this topic because there is much confusion and misinformation about the third person of the Godhead in the body of Christ. God wants you to know that this discord about the Holy Spirit was intentionally devised by Satan to keep his children and, in general, the body of Christ powerless and ineffective in our individual lives and divine assignments. Some of the lies that I have personally heard is that the Holy Spirit is not a divine person, but a force like the wind or gravity. I have heard that speaking in tongues after receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not from God, but evil. I have heard that this gift from God was for the first church, recorded in the book of Acts, and is no longer available for today. All of these lies and more were crafted by Satan to keep Christians weak and ill-equipped to do the work of our Lord. Because of this demonic attack on the truth, I will be sharing from the Word of God just who is the Holy Spirit and how He operates to make our lives supernatural here on earth. This teaching will consist of 5 parts. An introduction, which we will start today. Part 1, who is the Holy Spirit? Part 2, what is the Holy Spirit like? Part 3, the Holy Spirit's godly attributes. And part 4, why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I trust that for those who have not yet received this gift, they will be encouraged to do so. And for those who are already filled, they will gain greater understanding on how to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to them. Although the gift of the Holy Spirit is only available to those who have accepted the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, please, radio listeners, not already saved, do not turn the radio station. Please listen in and find out for yourself if this supernatural power given freely can inspire you to receive Jesus' salvation. Let's begin with the introduction. Now that you are saved and have an understanding of your salvation, you have the awesome privilege to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. After Jesus ascended to heaven following his resurrection from the dead, God, our Heavenly Father, provided the Holy Spirit to be our helper, guide, and comforter. It is with the infilling of the Holy Spirit that Christians have the supernatural power of God to get our divine assignments done in excellence. Again, Please do not allow religious traditions or misinformation to keep you from studying and receiving this gift from God. Our Heavenly Father loves you, and He would never give you anything or anyone that would hurt or mislead you. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Jesus is instructing His disciples after His resurrection. Verse number 1 says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, He, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, another name for the Holy Spirit, of the Father, which He, Jesus, said, 'You have heard from Me.'" Verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority." Verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth." Now when He, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." When they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, and that equates to about 2,000 yards. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying: Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Last verse, verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with His brothers." All right, family, just to give you a little background about what is going on, we know that Jesus has just been crucified, had completed His assignment by going into the underworld, into hell, took the keys of death from Satan, and resurrected. Now, prior to Him sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, He showed Himself to the disciples and gave them instructions. This is what is recorded in this chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Jesus is letting the disciples know that they are not going to be lacking anything. Remember, prior to Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus was the disciples' all in all. He answered all their questions. He guided them. He encouraged them. He did everything He could do to prepare the disciples to complete the work that He needed, that needed to be completed in this earth realm. So now He's giving them instructions not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, which is the Holy Spirit, so they can get filled with that power that will give them the fortitude to complete the work of witnessing regarding the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, in this passage, Jesus is telling his disciples that they need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to succeed in their ministry work. I'd like to reread two verses from that passage, Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. These are the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples that really summarize why the Holy Spirit is given to us. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, again, the Holy Spirit of the Father, which he, Jesus, said, you have heard from me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I also want to read from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 46 and 49. This passage also records these instructions from Jesus to the disciples. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 46. Then he, Jesus, said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thank God for that. Now, there was a time when the word that was spoken was for the people of Israel, but that was not God's final intent. He wanted every person to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And so he's instructing the disciples that they should wait to be endowed with that supernatural power and then to go out into the nations, not just Jerusalem, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pick up at verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Last verse, 49. Behold, I send the promise, again, the Holy Spirit of my Father upon you, but tarry. This word tarry really means or abide in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with the power from on high. Family, just like the disciples of old, needed the Holy Spirit's power, wisdom, and guidance to be effective witnesses to the world, we too need the Holy Spirit today. Again, we too need the Holy Spirit today. We need his power. We need his wisdom. We need his guidance, not just for our own sakes, personal use, but for us to complete the work that God has intended for us to do. Let's reread Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This one scripture really captures that need to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. Satan is busy killing, stealing, and destroying today, just like he was during Jesus' time. Satan has no new tricks or schemes, but if we are not led by the Holy Spirit, we could be fooled by Satan's deceptive ways and lose our life, even though what we are doing may be a good work unto the Lord. Here's an example of what I'm speaking about. All of us have heard of missionaries who went off to a faraway land to share the good news of Jesus Christ and got murdered or fell ill only to die in those foreign countries. We may have even wondered, why would God let them die out in the bush among foreigners when they supposedly were doing God's work? I can tell you from personal experience on the mission field that each missionary must know for certain that they were called of God and instructed by the Holy Spirit to go. The question I must ask myself before going, and only after prayer, is this: what God would have me do? It is only through the leading of the Holy Spirit that I take an assignment in ministry. God knows who he wants to go and when. This is the reason we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we do not try to do the work of the Lord in our own strength. Let's go to Acts chapter 21. I want to read verses 1 through 14, where Apostle Paul is warned through the leading of the Holy Spirit not to go to Jerusalem to preach because he would be in prison. See, the Holy Spirit can lead you, but you still have a free will, and you can choose to say no. You can choose to say, I'm going to do it anyway because I feel led to do it of my own free will. When we do that, we open up the door for Satan to come to try to attack us, to kill, steal, and destroy. Here is what happened to Paul when he did that assignment in Jerusalem without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is very clear that the Holy Spirit did not want him to go at that time. Again, Acts 21, I'm going to start with verse number 1, and we're going to read all 14 verses. After parting from the Ephesians elders, we sailed straight to Kos. The next day we reached Rhodes and then went to Patara. There we boarded a ship sailing for the Syrian province of Phoenicia. We sighted the island of Cyprus, passed it on our left, and landed on the harbor of Tyre in Syria, where the ship unloaded. We went ashore and found the local believers and stayed with them a week. These disciples warned Paul. Family, listen carefully. Here is the warning. See, this is how wonderful the Holy Spirit is. He always warns us when there's danger, when there is a situation arising that can hurt us. He's also there to tell us when to go, how to do it, and when. So this is why we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Again, these disciples warned Paul, the Holy Spirit prophesying through them, not to go on to Jerusalem. Verse number 5. At the end of the week, when we returned to the ship, the entire congregation, including wives and children, walked down to the beach with us where we prayed and said our farewells. Then we went aboard and they returned home. The next stop after leaving Tyre was Phintias, where we greeted the believers but stayed only one day. Then we went on to Sisera and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the first seven deacons. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. During our stay of several days, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea and visited us. He took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jews in Jerusalem and turned over to the Romans." Here is the second warning by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Family, when we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us comfort and help us through our assignments, it is very important for us to pay attention, to give credence and follow the advice of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows the end at the beginning, and he wants to keep us safe and he wants us to be successful. So if we follow his leading, we will never falter, we will never stumble, we will never fail. Again, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jews in Jerusalem and turned over to the Romans. Verse 12, hearing this, all of us, the local believers and his traveling companions, begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But he said, "Why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. For I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but also to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus."
when it was clear that he wouldn't be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The will of the Lord be done." Again, family, I am giving this information to you from the Word of God so that you can see not just a personal comment, which I gave you prior to, but also to show you from scripture and verse how the Holy Spirit operates. He knows what's best. He knows what God wants out of us, and he will do so and give us information, not only so that we can complete the assignment, but when it is the correct time to go forward with the assignment. I know one of the confessions that I often speak when I wake up in the morning, before I even leave the bed, I say, "Father, I thank you for this day that you have made. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is my teacher, my helper, my guide." And then I speak directly to the Holy Spirit and I say to him, "Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips. You show me what to do, when to do it, and how to do it." What I'm doing is I am giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to show me the very best way to do things and complete those things that I need to do that day. This is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can complete our assignments in this earth realm with excellence, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always doing those things that will be a blessing to others and not a curse. I am truly convinced that without the Holy Spirit, our work here in this earth realm can be done, but it will be done in a very difficult manner because you don't have that supernatural wisdom and knowledge from the Holy Spirit to guide you. So we want to make sure that each Christian knows what is available to them through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then to utilize the Holy Spirit so that they can do things successfully, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always doing things the way God wants us to do it. You know, when I was in ministry school some years ago, we had a wonderful dean of our ministry school, and Pastor Landry, he would often tell us as we were going through our different assignments in school, you know, "All of yous have been called to the ministry. All of yous have gifts and talents that the Lord wants to use, and he will use them if you make yourself available. But be cautious," he would tell us, "because there's so many wonderful things to do. There's always a need in the body of Christ. And of course, those who are not yet a part of the family, we need to minister to them as well. But be careful that you do not overload yourself with just good works to do. Make sure that God would have you do it. Just because something is good to do does not mean that God has called you to do it. Everyone has a place in the body of Christ, and everyone has specific assignments that their gifts and talents can be utilized for. So before you enter into any kind of ministry work, you need to pray. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to give you direction, to show you how to do it with excellence, so that when the work is done, you'll know that God called you to do it, and it will be a blessing, not just to the people that you're blessing, but to yourself, because you did it in Jesus' strength and not your own. I know I have said this in other situations, but I want to remind especially those who are called to ministry that many times when we do things, we do it on our own strength. We don't permit the Holy Spirit to give us guidance, to give us timing, to give us the okay to do something. And because we want to do something for the Lord, instead of waiting on him, we step out on our own. And when we do, we cause havoc, not just for ourselves, but possibly for the church and congregation and our families. And we don't want that. God doesn't want that. He wants you to be blessed, spirit, soul, and body. He wants everything that you touch to prosper. And that's a result of because we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his guidance. And when we do it his way, it will always be perfect. It will be a blessing and not a curse. So I want to encourage everyone as we go through this study on the Holy Spirit the third person of the Godhead, to pay close attention, if you're not already filled, to take serious thought on receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know for myself, I got filled on the very day, shortly after, within minutes of receiving salvation. And I've always found it to be a blessing, never a curse. And always, 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 it has helped me do the work that God has called me to do. I didn't know at the time that I would be going out into the mission field. I went out into the mission field for many years. And as a result of that, it was because the Holy Spirit led me. And he led me in a kind and safe manner. I never had any issues that the Holy Spirit could not resolve when I was out on the mission field. And as I continue in my ministry work, he continues to lead me, and it's been good, good, good. Well, family, my time is up, but I do want to encourage you to continue to listen in, and we will continue on our teaching, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead.
Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.